Hello everyone, welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. Today we are in Genesis chapter 11, and we begin our study in verse 6. This is the 11th lecture in the book of Genesis. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to the word that we are about to read and study together. In Jesus' name, amen. We are looking at the story of the Tower of Babel. It is life after the flood. And it didn't take too long, and the world was once again corrupt with sin. In verse 6 of Genesis chapter 10, or Genesis chapter 11, the Bible says, let's read verse 5. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. There is power in unity. Power for good or power for evil. Unity in Christ means Christians are held together and united by the spiritual glue of truth and holiness, but the unity at the power of or at the Tower of Babel was an evil unity. They were united, but not under God. They were united in their determination to rebel against God and do things their way. And their evil ways will prosper if God doesn't step in and do something about it. It won't be another flood, but it will be another attempt by God to at least slow down the spread of evil. 7. God says, come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Communication is the key to harmony and success in any relationship. If the people aren't communicating, there will be trouble. And of course, God knows this. So God knows how to put an end to this unholy unity, this unholy madness. He will do something to their brains that affects their ability to speak and understand. 8. So the Lord scattered them from abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Psalm 127 verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. This city was doomed to fail because God was not in it. This civilization was doomed to fail because God was not the Lord of it. Verse 9. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. They did not scatter after God told them to scatter, so God scattered them himself. This is God's world. We will either play by his rules or we will lose. That's because one way or another, God's will be done. People can cooperate and be blessed in the process, or they can rebel and suffer. It's that simple. 10. This is the genealogy of Shem. Now, stop there for a second, because from verse 10 to verse 26, the Bible traces the genealogy from Shem to a man by the name of Abraham. The line of Japheth and Ham are sort of set on the back burner of the Bible right about here. That's because Scripture focuses on the line that leads to the Lord Jesus Christ. Shem led to Abraham, and Abraham will be the father of the Jews, and our Lord Jesus Christ will be born a Jew. Again, we're going to skip the genealogy, and we're going to go down to verse 26 where it wraps up. It says, now Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Verse 27, this is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abram, By the way, his name will be changed to Abraham. It says, Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begot Lot. Abraham's father was a man named Terah. Abraham also had two brothers, Nahor and Haran. And Abraham also had one nephew named Lot. 28. And Haran died before his father Terah in his native land of Ur of the Chaldees. Death does not play by the rules. As a result, Haran, the brother of Abraham, died before even his father died. He died in his hometown of Ur, which was where Terah and his three sons were living. Verse 29. Then Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. The two younger sons, Abraham and Nahor, get married after the death of their older brother. And actually, Nahor married his deceased brother's daughter, Milcah, which was still allowed by God back in those days. And Abraham, he married a woman named Sarai. 30. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. This was a very sad thing for Sarai and her husband Abraham. They wanted children, but they couldn't because she couldn't. But God will use her barrenness to reveal His power in the future. Until then, they'll just have to tough it out and be thankful for what they do have. When God doesn't give us everything we would like, we must tough it out, trust Him, and be thankful for what we do have, which really is much more than what we deserve as sinners. 31. And Terah took his son, Abram, and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law, Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. The family moves out of their hometown, Ur, and they head for what will eventually become the land of Israel. But it seems like they got sidetracked along the way, and they settled down in a place called Haran. 32. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. And this could explain why the family stopped short of the land that they were headed for. Terah may have been too old and sick to keep going. At any rate, Terah did die in Haran. And so now it's time for the rest of the family to pack up and continue their journey. So look at chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. This is actually a flashback to when Abram and his family were back home in Ur. And now we know why they packed up and left in the first place. It wasn't just a whim. It wasn't because they wanted a change in scenery. God told Abraham to go, and so he went. Abraham was told that he had to leave his home and his country and his family. Sometimes we must step out of our comfort zone in order to obey God. Don't let comfort be your only guide, because it can be a very selfish, fleshly guide and not always an indication of God's will. Verse 2. God says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. God commanded Abraham to do a hard thing. Leave your home, leave your family, leave your business, leave all that. He commanded him to do a hard thing, but God said, if you do it, I will bless you, and you will be a blessing to others. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. Abraham is God's man, and his offspring will be God's special people. That's why being good to Abraham and his offspring, the Israelites, is the same as being good to Almighty God. Hurting Abraham or his offspring is the same as hurting God. Verse 3, last part of it. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The human side of Jesus Christ came from the line of Abraham. And just like God says here, the whole world is blessed through Abraham. That is, Abraham's descendant, Christ. The whole world is being offered eternal life through Jesus Christ. Jesus isn't Europe's religion or America's religion. It isn't one of many roads to heaven. Jesus is God's only way to heaven. Listen, through you, that is, Abraham's offspring on the human side, Jesus, all the world will be blessed. He is the only Savior. He is the one. 4. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. God had told Abraham to leave his family behind and to head to Canaan. But he didn't fully obey the Lord. For starters, he took his dad, which actually slowed him down. Then he took his nephew Lot, which is going to lead to a huge problem later on. You know, it isn't always easy to give up the things and the people God commands us to give up, but in the long run, it's always better to obey. Abraham will learn that. He will learn that partial obedience results in trouble every single time. Look at verse 5. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Verse 6. Abraham passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were in the land. This was an ungodly place. It was full of ungodly sinners called Canaanites. They weren't much different than the pagans back home in Ur. And it doesn't matter where you go, doesn't matter where you work, doesn't matter where you live, you have to deal with people like this, people who don't regard God. Verse 7, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Back in Ur, God told Abraham to go. And he didn't give Abraham a complete roadmap either. He said, go, and I will show you where. In other words, start going, and I'll tell you when you get there. And now God says, this is the land I said I'd show you. So Abram made it, and the first thing he does is worship God. Verse 8. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. One thing you'll notice about Abram is that he built many altars. Abram worshipped God everywhere he went. Abram was a living witness to the reality of God the Creator. The fact that you go to a church, the fact that you attend church on Sunday morning, and the fact that you, I hope, go to a church that focuses on the teaching of God's Word is a living witness to your belief in Almighty God. Abraham was a living witness to the reality of God the Creator. He was different. He worshipped the true God, and he did it among all those Canaanites who worship all sorts of false gods. And if you go to a church that teaches the Word of God, believes in Jesus Christ, then you are different, probably from many people around you. And you should be thankful for that. Well, we better stop there for today. We'll pick up our study in verse 10 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.